RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hempy on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Welcome aboard Victory Monday, Double Victory Monday. Commanders beat the Cowboys. We've got a playoff schedule. And don't worry, we'll get to VCU. The Rams take care of business. Take that, Sister Jean, 105 years old. No sympathy, though. Some cold-blooded shooting at the end of that one, but I loved the defense. We'll dive into all that. It's a snow day. Hopefully everybody's staying safe out there, staying warm, staying by the Odyssey app. It's free. It's got the rewind button. Grab it at the App Store and at Google Play. We'll get around the NFL today. Obviously, a lot to get to on what's referred to as Black Monday. The firing started rolling in last night with Jerod Mayo in New England, which was a no-brainer. Now that Vrabel's available for a second straight season. But we start with the Commanders, and we start with a heck of a victory. And man, this team delivers the thrills, delivers the heart attacks. That's four in a row now that have been decided in the final 6 seconds of the football game. That's not normal, folks. That's special. And to go 4-0 in those four games as well. So four-game winning streak, four games that have all been won in the final 6 seconds of the game. And that means we've got ourselves a playoff schedule, and I'm fired up for that. You'll hear it right here. It's the matchup I wanted. I think it's the matchup we wanted. It's Commanders-Buccaneers, Sunday night. It's a little Sunday night football under the lights in Tampa. You'll hear it right here, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, Sunday night, 8 p.m., get your popcorn ready for a lot of reasons, but you know, when we break this down all week, we're going to be talking about Marshawn Lattimore and Mike Evans. I mean, that's you jump to conclusions here. That is the thing we're going to be talking about all week long, and I'm fired up for it. Lattimore, Evans, they've got a history. Lattimore coming back from injury. Evans coming off tying Jerry Rice's record yesterday. Anytime you tied Jerry Rice's record, that's pretty good. 11 consecutive seasons, crossing 1,000 yards receiving. I love at the end of the game, you saw his teammates mobbed him, celebrated with him. That tells you that they like him. You know, they went out of their way to get him the record even when the game was over, and they had locked up their playoff berth over the Falcons, who stumble into the gates. They're one of the more interesting teams today on Black Monday as well. Then the Lions take care of business. Man, that felt like a bit of a statement win from the Lions right there, completely shutting down Minnesota. And Minnesota's defense is good. I do not want to play them in the playoffs. But the Lions, that is a well-coached team. That's a tough team. That's a resilient team. And they've got the bye looking good in Detroit, certainly. I think Philly's the other team that's in a great spot here. You know, they sitting in the two seed. They're not going to have to play Detroit until at least the NFC title game. Let's go through the whole thing because we had an interesting weekend of football. Then I'll get back to the Commanders. Four straight Final second finish, and Terry McLaurin with the winning time play, as he calls it. We'll go inside the locker room here in about 12 minutes on 910 The Fan. You'll hear from Terry here from Marcus Mariota. I think that's your other big decision of the day, and I'll tell you that I liked that one, bringing him in for Jaden Daniels, who's getting rocked. Shows you the importance of that offensive line, something I don't know that we were saying at the start of the year, but boy, it's become very apparent. When you have depth issues on that offensive line, you have issues across the roster. Makes B-Rob not look as good. Jaden's taking hits. I don't know what was planned and what wasn't planned, but I know that it was a smart decision to get him out of there. Even as I was saying, you have to go all out for the sixth seed, and you did have to go all out for the sixth seed. I mean, especially now that you know you're playing Tampa, such a better matchup than Philly. They can win this game in Tampa. I'll say that definitively. Would have been a tough climb in Philly. Would have been a tougher game for sure. Jaden, nice weather. If you get Lattimore back and he neutralizes Evans, there's a clear path to victory here. Also a clear path to defeat that includes them rattling Jaden, as defenses have been able to do sporadically this season. And Tampa was in week one. Todd Bowles knows how to call a heck of a defense. So I'm fired up. Sunday Night Football, you'll hear it right here on The Fan. 8 o'clock Sunday night, primetime, great slot. Won't know who they play in the next round, potentially, until the other dust settles. We will know. No, we'll know because the Green Bay game will be over. So we'll know if the Commanders win. If Green Bay loses in Philly, the Commanders would play Detroit the next weekend. If Green Bay wins in Philly, they would get Detroit, and Washington would get the winner of the game the next night between the Rams and the Vikings, who, last night, statement game for the Lions, but the Vikings showing their limitations. It's a few really good teams. I'm counting five really good teams this year. Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and in the NFC, I think you've got the Eagles and the Lions. I'm counting five really good teams, and I'm counting a lot of teams with weaknesses that when they play to their strengths can win, but when they play to their weaknesses, don't get it done as easily. Playoff schedule, Saturday, 4:30. First game. Now, that's the dud game. They bury this one Saturday. You're not watching football Saturday afternoon. I mean, it's football. 20 million people are going to watch it, but the ratings aren't as good for this one. This was an easy call. Chargers-Texans. I like the Chargers in this one, first glance. This is a dud football game, though. Houston is not a serious contender this year. Then 8 o'clock under the lights. Oh, man, Russell Wilson has some work to do. We got Steelers-Ravens. We got a Pittsburgh team that faded hard down the stretch, faded all the way to the sixth spot. But also a Steelers team that when this defense is clicking can beat anybody on any given day. And if they ruined Baltimore's season after a great season for Lamar, MVP worthy season for sure. I don't think he'll get it, but I think the numbers are very good. That would be wild too, to go in their house and do it. That would provide a little measure of redemption. You certainly like the Ravens at first glance here, but I'm not counting out that Steelers defense. And a prime time magical moment for Russ. We've seen him before. I think that one's going to be a really fun game. Triple header Sunday. You start with Denver Buffalo. Now, I was watching yesterday. Great day of football. Great day to have Red Zone on. Obviously, we're all waiting for the snow. Hopefully, everybody bought their loaves of bread. I don't know why everybody goes and buys all the loaves of bread. You're sitting at home, the power's out this morning. All right, well, at least we've got 17 slices of white bread. Okay, great, that's cool. I don't know what you're going to do with it. Why are we buying all the bread? I don't know. We're buying all the eggs, too. Are people making egg salad sandwiches out there this morning? I don't know. If you are, hopefully using a little bit of Duke's mayo. We've got Denver-Buffalo. That's the opener. Yeah, yesterday. Tony Romo slobbering all over Denver. Look at what they've done. Look at Bo Nix. Man, look at the progress these guys have made. They're going to lose by 100 in Buffalo. This is a Buffalo team on a mission. Denver's not even close to as good. I'm not holding my breath for anything here. Green Bay-Philly. I do like this matchup a lot. I think this one's going to be a ton of fun. I don't think the Packers are good enough to hang with them, but we've seen some magic moments from the Packers, and of course, this is a rematch of that Brazil game earlier this year, which was a close game, went down the stretch. I think this has the potential to be a fun one. And then y'all know I love Commanders Bucks. That's our Sunday night game in primetime. I think there's going to be some points scored. I think there's going to be some fireworks. I think you're going to need to get your popcorn ready down at the Pirate Ship. Second time in primetime in 3 weeks for Washington. I mean, how quickly these things change. A team that basically couldn't buy its way into primetime, now twice in the last 3 weeks, flexed both times. That people love watching Jaden Daniels. It's not just us. And, you know, that's my fear. He's getting beat up pretty good yesterday. They had to use the hook, get him out, even though they wanted that win. I think moving forwards, you know, it's all on the offensive line health, and then it's all on Marshon Lattimore's health because they don't have another guy on that team who can corral Evans efficiently. But saw some signs of life, too, yesterday. We'll talk about that in the next segment, John Allen and all that. Your Monday night game, it's Minnesota at the Rams. I do think this has the potential to be a really fun one as well. Looking forward to that. The Rams resting everybody yesterday, falling into the four seed. So instead of playing Washington, they get Minnesota. Was that strategic? Was that just giving his guys a bye week? It's Sean McVay. He hates the preseason. He hates giving his guys extra time. So I don't know that there's anything to read into here, but I know it's a fun lineup of football games. Maybe not the best teams, but some good teams that are going to give us a bit of a show. As I mentioned, Victory Monday for VCU as well. Man, they needed that one. 20-point win up in Chicago with some nice shooting down the stretch. Defense that rattled some guys. We'll talk about that in about 20 minutes. We'll go around the NFL. Top draft picks are set. Normally, it's the thing we're talking about, but we're talking about a playoff-bound football team. I love it. Snowy Monday. I don't think anybody's doing anything. Sit back. Enjoy the program. We're with you for the next 2 hours. AWOD Radio takes over. You are listening to Richmond's home of the Washington Commanders. 910 The Fan.
910 The Fan. 105.1 FM. Worldwide on the free Odyssey app. Snowy Monday keeping you company around Richmond. Be safe out there. Hopefully nestled up snug in your homes listening to that free Odyssey app. I want to get to VCU before the hour's over, and we will, and we'll get to Black Monday and everything else going on, but I also want to dive into the Commanders-Cowboys game, just on its merits as well. I want to go inside the locker room, of course, hear from some of the players as we do, as we get ready for the only thing we ever get ready for, a playoff game against Tampa. Only other thing is a playoff game against Seattle. Seemed like we only played them in the playoffs for a little while. Now it's Tampa. This is site of their last playoff win, 2005. Opponent from their last playoff game, 2020. A really good matchup, as you heard in the opener. I like this one a lot, and of course you'll hear it right here on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Now there's a few things yesterday that make you say, this team's not ready for the playoffs yet. And if there were a few things in a lot of games yesterday, top to bottom, where you'd say, the Packers certainly showed they weren't ready. Rams showed they weren't ready. It's not unusual in week 18 that weird things happen, but certainly for this team, for this time, for right now, I really like this matchup, and I think there were some things that lead you to believe there may be a little closer than anticipated too. Now, you start with the opportunistic nature of football, right? And when these guys create takeaways, they're far better off than when they don't. And Frankie Louvu gets his fingers on an interception early. He's not quite there. Those are the plays that if they make those plays, it's a different ball game early. Excuse me. Just excited about some football here. We got playoff football at the Commanders on the Fan. I love it so much. You got the trick play. Cliff's in his bag right now. Cliff's calling a great game right now. Cliff Kingsbury going, the trick play to Diami, throws it lefty style to OZ. Olamide Zaccheaus can't quite bring it in. I mean, Cliff's in his bag. I trust him to dial these up again next week. You love what you're seeing. On the downside, certainly they're getting to Jaden. They're rattling number five. You look at the Tampa defense, Todd Bowles. He finds ways to disrupt quarterbacks. So I think that's what I'm looking at early in the week. This is going to have to be a high-scoring game, I think, for these guys to win. They're going to be throwing some stuff at Jaden he's never seen before. That's important to make sure to be ready for that. Back to the good side, John Allen's back. John Allen with the sack. Love to see that. Bobby Wagner's going to show in the playoffs. This is his prime time. Zach Ertz gave you a touchdown catch. Was really relieved to see Terry bring in the winning time play there. That's his phrase. That's DQ's phrase.
was relieved to see Terry when it mattered there in crunch time, because I was getting nervous about what we were getting from Terry the last couple weeks. It just hadn't been on the same page with both quarterbacks, number five and then with Mariota. Good to see him get a big one, hopefully get back in the rhythm. I don't worry about him. I've been a little worried about him. You know, at halftime, I was a little worried about what he was doing. You know, St. Juice obviously is a liability. This whole thing, I think, absolutely hangs on Lattimore's availability and skill level this weekend. If he can go, can he contain Evans? Can he, you know, make life harder for Baker Mayfield? I think that's the question here, right? How much Marshawn Lattimore can you get? How good can he be in terms of being able to impact the game? Also, game ball to Tress Way. He was fantastic. Now, he's close to home. He's from Oklahoma. Love a good hometown showing for a guy. Kudos to Tress Way making his thing, making it known there. Austin Eckler, a little rusty, went the wrong direction on the handoff still. Nice to have him back. Nice to have that going. Downside, one up, one down here. Luke McCaffrey with the gaff on the punt. Stop trying to make fetch happen. Stop trying to make Luke McCaffrey happen. It's not going to happen. That said, I do think Terry's winning time moment looms large over a lot of this. It shows you if they can hang tight in a playoff game, they can make the plays when the money's down, when it matters. Let's hear from our guy, Terry McLaurin.
Winning time moments, you know, we got to find a way to start faster and start better so our backs aren't against the wall. But, you know, it's been kind of the story of our offense and our team, just winning time moments. And as we go into the playoffs, we're going to need faster starts. But more importantly, we're going to need to come through clutch in the winning time moment. So to have that happen backed up against our own end zone, to drive all the way down there, shout out to our guys. Shout out to the defense. Shout out to Marcus. I mean, I love playing with that guy, man. He's always ready for his moment. He's one of the most humble players I've ever been around. O-line, you know, when we had to have it, they gave him time to get the ball out. So that was a tough win, but, you know, we needed that going into the playoffs. We couldn't go in on a loss.
What's it mean for you to be part of a 12-win team?
Man, it's amazing. That's why you work so hard in the offseason, honestly, to win as many games as you can, to be sitting here right now going into the playoffs to have a chance to win it all. You know, it's a new season. It's anybody's game. It's anybody's trophy. And we believe if we put our best foot forward, we could be one of the teams competing for that. So we got to clean up some things going into next week. I don't know who we play yet, but it's going to be about us getting off to a faster start, just playing cleaner football. But the way we compete and got to have it moments, I think that's going to make us really tough to compete with. So if we could get a cleaner start, play a little bit more complimentary football, we may not be stressing as much at the end.
A very good perspective there from number 17. Terry McLaurin, 13 touchdowns this season. That's a franchise record. Agree with him. Some things you got to clean up early in games are going to lead to less stress late in games. And we said that after the Atlanta game, too. And we've said that after a few games this year. This is a team that at its best is dominating opponents early and then coasting to the finish line. We've seen they have the killer instinct. We just haven't seen them be able to jump on teams early as much as they were early in the year. Hopefully Cliff Kingsbury brings the old bag of tricks. Let's hear from the quarterback. Marcus Mariota played very well. This is obviously not a team that's going to make a playoff run with Marcus Mariota. They go as far as five takes him. But I love to see the wheels. Love to see the arm. He uncorked a couple nice throws. It was certainly encouraging to see positive backup play. And, you know, when you see that, you say, okay, can he hang around for another year? Because I'm sure he's going to want to be a starter in the NFL. But if those options don't come open, can he come back and be the backup here? That's one less thing you have to worry about. Here's Marcus Mariota. We're inside the locker room with the Washington Commanders on 910 The Fan.
We talked about it all week. We wanted to continue the momentum. Regardless of where we were seating, regardless of what was going to happen next week, it's about this week. And I think Coach Q does a great job of keeping our guys focused on the present and just finding ways to get better. We can always improve. And I think when you have that type of mentality and that type of culture, guys just kind of fall into place and you just focus on taking it one day at a time. And then when the season's towards its end and when you're getting into these postseason games, nothing's different. And guys feel very confident. So just got to give a lot of credit to Q and the rest of the staff for having guys believe that and buying in.
Marcus, what prevented you guys from getting?
I mean, Dallas did a great job, I thought. They had a good plan early on. And, you know, sometimes it's just execution. And, you know, there's going to be a play here or there that they're going to make. But I thought our guys kind of settled in and got in a rhythm in the second half, and we found ways to make plays.
Yeah, momentum's a real thing. I was confused a few times on that because some people are like, oh, it doesn't look like they're playing to win. No, Dallas was playing to win, too. This was just a tough back-and-forth battle of a football game. Also, they got to Jaden early. Jaden leaving that game was not necessarily a scripted thing. They were beating him up pretty good. I think Dan was saying, I'd rather have healthy Jaden for the playoffs than the sixth seed, which was the correct calculus. They were going for the sixth seed, but then at the end of the game, it really took their foot off the gas, ended up being just fine. They scored with 2 seconds left. They did exactly what they planned to do. Silly me. Just sitting here saying, you go, play on the right side of the two-minute warning. They didn't do any of those things. Didn't end up mattering. Here's your winning coach. He's DQ. He's got 12 wins at the helm of the Washington Commanders. Don't ever lose sight of how cool that is.
We've talked about this a little bit. As you're building a program, you'd hope you'd be into some really tight games because that kind of hardness, it didn't always go our way. I want to make sure I'm clear on that. But to be battle ready as a first-year group, this has been a lot of end-of-the-game moments. And we knew we'd have to fight for some, and that was no different going into today. And so they haven't all gone our way. But in that space, on the sideline, you can feel these players know, man, like we're literally never out of the fight. Frustration? Yes. Pointing fingers on that? Hell no. And so I love that about our group. They know we're not out of it.
Yeah, no, nobody doubting that. If there's anybody in that locker room who didn't believe to start with, they certainly do now. You look at all the last-minute drives over the season, the Eagles, the Hail Mary against the Bears, the Falcons in overtime, the way these guys have pulled rabbits out of hats, and then for Mariota to do it against the Cowboys with the sixth seed on the line before you know that Green Bay is eliminated, because you can't assume those things, and it was bang, bang. It was a great red zone day. Good day for football broadly. But those were the important moments. And the team rose to the occasion even without Jaden, which has to be exciting to the coach. Jaden Daniels, we're going to be watching that closely this week. Cowboys got to him. He was feeling uncomfortable. Dan Quinn said he had a little mild soreness in his leg. So certainly, we had the rib watch. Now it's leg watch. He's crucial to their hopes of winning this weekend. You know Todd Bowles is going to be throwing blitzes at him. Obviously, it goes without saying the O-line is crucial here. Tyler Biadasz, got to get him back. He is a crucial piece of this puzzle. And then you had the Trent Scott subbing in for Brandon Coleman. That's not good. There's a definite drop-off when these backups come in. That's a result of not having a team built by Adam Peters over multiple years. The depth isn't there yet, and you see that on the offensive line. They're really fading at the wrong time here. But you also see the way Cliff Kingsbury overcomes that with the motion, with the misdirection. A couple more catches from Terry. A little bit more running. Man, you got to get B-Rob going. That's going to be crucial in the coming week. We'll be watching that as well. So a lot going on, a lot on our radar here. It's going to be a very fun week as we get you ready for playoff football. Buccaneers Commanders will have it for you in its entirety right here on The Fan, pregame, postgame, the works. Just an incredible time to be a fan. On our way to New Orleans, we'll look forward to a great big game week out there. Show's still rolling. Lots to get to nationally in the NFL as well. Want to take on a little VCU hoops on the other side of this break. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105. Snowy Monday morning in Richmond, keeping you up with the latest around the NFL, around the world of sports. One of the craziest things to me yesterday, I don't know how closely you watched it. Dak Prescott, when he goes to the line, here we go, here we go. That's his thing. He yells out at the line. It was just so funny to see Trey Lance doing it. I don't know if it happened like when Peyton Manning left games. Did Curtis Painter come in and yell Omaha? I don't know. It didn't feel right. Like, it feels like that's a catchphrase. And here we are hearing it from Trey Lance, who was fine. Certainly not. Can't imagine anybody's beating down the door there like, I got to get Trey Lance on our team today. He was fine. Clearly, he was the number 3 overall pick. There's something there. I don't know that we saw enough to say like, somebody's going to give that guy a chance next year. I didn't see that. Dak was up there drinking his sweet tea. He had like 5 sweet teas lined up in front of him, then comes down to the sideline. Weird game. Certainly, a snoozer of a game for the first couple of quarters there. The kickoff hit the cheerleader. We had incidents. There were incidents all over the place. It was a wild football game. Commanders then, just as they did last time, pull out an interesting game down the stretch. The last time they doinked an extra point, that cost them the Cowboys one. This time around, they finished the job. They claim the sixth seed playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And of course, we'll go around the league on a Black Monday. They got a premature start when Gerard Mayo got canned in New England a little bit early. I'll dive into that in a future segment. But right now, though, we got to talk about the VCU Rams, because that was a very nice win this weekend for VCU. Go to Loyola Chicago on a Saturday. I don't know that there's no must wins yet, because I do think this is all going to come down to the tournament to DC at the end of the year. I don't think, you know, it's a tough path to get to the point where you could say these guys are in before we get to DC with their resume. It feels unlikely. I think we'll be talking about a bubble team from here to there. That said, this is a nice one to have, and to get it 84-65. We'll play Ryan Odom here in a second. I was really impressed by the defense. I thought the defense did a very nice job of bothering Loyola, of bothering their guards, and of making disruptions. And that's, you know, that's half the battle. That'll create offensive opportunities for you. And now, it's still, the shooting won the game. Their three-point shooting won the game. The other major takeaway I had from this one for VCU was watching Jack Clark get inside. This was maybe their best in the paint performance. Funny that it comes against Jalen Deloach. I think, you know, that you go against a former player, he's amped up for the game. You turn in your best paint performance of the year. I don't know if that's coincidence or not, but it's certainly a great sign going forward for VCU, everything they're going to be able to accomplish on that side of the ball. Offensively, they're going to have some paint production. Now, Jack Clark, still ice cold from three, but goes in, makes himself a presence inside, and gets himself some inside baskets. We've seen Joe Bamisil do that. We've seen him go inside to get baskets and get the team a spark. Hopefully, there's something there that Jack Clark can lean on going forward that I think will serve him very well. They protected the ball well, I thought, overall. On a day where Shulga shoots 2 for 10, to be able to say your offense got the job done late, Ryan Odom's going to take that, get on the plane, and not look back. 12 for Jack Clark, but it was the Phil Russell show once again. He's settling in as this team's de facto, spark plug, battery, whatever you want to call it, instant offense, just add water. He's been fantastic, 5 for 8 from behind the arc. That's what they need. Joe Bam, you know, right behind him with 7. I think we all thought Joe Bam would take that role, but it's absolutely Phil Russell. Good to see Bamboye get a couple good minutes, couple highlights there. You're still hesitant to rely on him too much as a freshman, but his ability to disrupt the game on both sides of the ball is nice. You can trust him to give Christian Furman a spell every now and then. And I think Zeb was settled down too. I think there was a lot to like, but I think I'm not the coach of the VCU Rams. Ryan Odom is. So let's hear from him on 910 The Fan.
Generally speaking, I thought our pressure defense, our full court pressure defense for the entire night was good. Mm-hmm. It generated, some hairy moments for them. Mishandling the ball, we got a couple of turnovers, and certainly wore them down. It's not a matter of like doing it right away. It's like the cumulative effect. The difference in the first half and the second half, though, was our half-court defense, right? The half-court defense in the first half was left a lot to be desired. We were not communicating effectively. We were giving up some easy shots. They were tipping balls and getting some extras. They were beating us off the bounce, all right, too much. And in the second half, we tightened it up. You know, our guys collectively did a really nice job of keeping their chest in front of them, blocking out. When we were beat, you know, another guy came over, and then another guy veer boxed on the other side. And then we contested shots. And not that we didn't make any mistakes in the half court. We certainly gave up a few baskets there. But all in all, our guys did a really nice job on that side. And when we do that, when we're getting stops, all right, it gives us a chance to flow a little bit better into our offense on the other side. And I think you saw some of that. Some key contributors for sure.
So when you talk about flowing into the offense, I felt like that VCU did a really good job in the second half coming out, handling the physicalness of this team. Seemed like in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game, they're like, whoa, they're really being physical.
Yeah, it's a physical team, for sure.
And there was an adjustment to made. I don't know what you told them at halftime, but it seemed like their freedom of movement was a little bit better in the second half.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, no question. And playing off the catch, you know, and it's hard to play half-court defense like that where you're denying, denying, denying all the time. Eventually it loosens a little bit. And we were able to loosen them up with some drives to the basket. And we have good guards. You know, these guys can get in the paint. And if you're willing to pressure further out, you're risking, you know, our guys getting in there. Zeb obviously was huge, you know, during that flurry. Played till exhaustion, you know, did a really good job. Phil obviously was big. When we're able to rest those guys and they come back in, they come back more energized. Brandon was huge. It was Jack's best game. Firm, all right, really played well for us. Luke had his moments, you know, defensively, and even that offensive play down here, a couple of offensive rebounds that he had. Just really proud of the guys and their effort.
I'm glad he gave the shout out to Luke Bamboye there. That was VCU coach Ryan Odom, of course, chatting with Robbie Robinson on the VCU postgame show. If you're looking for VCU live tonight, don't go out to Buffalo Wild Wings. I mean, you still go to B-Dubs. They serve food. There's football, and there's not football, and there's no Monday Night Football tonight. Monday night's back next Monday. They get the playoff game, but not tonight. There's no football. Whatever. Never bad time to eat wings, I guess is what I'm saying here. I'm also saying VCU Live is canceled. No classes at VCU today. No school. The kids are never going back to school again. We've made peace with that. It's all right. I was teaching them some good, you know, blitz strategies yesterday. I feel like they got a good at-home education in front of the television. Professor Tony Romo was talking to them for a bit. So I don't feel like we lost the learning. I think we may have just reallocated the learning. Are they better at math today than they were yesterday? No, they're not. Not definitely not better at grammar or English, but I think better situationally. I think that's important too. Saturday we got them a little education. Taught them about Sister Jean. I cannot believe she's 105. She's still there. That blows my mind every time I see it. Adam had the chance to go out there to the game. He passed on that. I'm guessing his crew, Black and Gold podcast crew, had a pretty fun time out there in Chicago. That looked like a fun one. Some VCU fans there. Looked like a very Siegel Center-ish atmosphere, you know, kind of small place right on top of each other, and a passionate fan base. Another school in the A-10 made a name for itself with a big March run, and now is looking to back that up in future years. For VCU, though, crucial win to get a little something going, because these aren't easy. Road wins in the A-10 aren't easy. To get an opportunity to get one is nice. Two nights from now, we'll be back at the Siegel Center. VCU Fordham, that'll be great. Little tune-up before VCU St. Louis. Next big game on that A-10 schedule. A lot of big games on that A-10 schedule. Look at this upcoming schedule. St. Joe's, Rhode Island. Rhodey's good. St. Bonaventure, St. Louis again. Richmond, that's going to be a game. Dayton, man, what happened to Dayton? Dayton lost to George Washington. That undersells it. George Washington smoked Dayton 82-62. Now, I don't know what happened. I didn't watch the game, but that's insane. G-Dub, by the way, 12-3. No easy outs in the A-10, and certainly no easy outs for this VCU team that always wears a bullseye everywhere it goes. But that's the way we like it. And the games only get bigger from here. Other college basketball on Saturday, to wrap it all up, nice win for Richmond going up to UMass, 72-64. Kick them on their way out of the A-10. Virginia Tech beats Miami, which is the funniest result because I think we're actually Miami fans now because that helps VCU strength of schedule. But when you play in the seventh place game, sometimes you get a seventh place caliber team or an eighth place caliber team, and that was the case. Hokies get one. I don't know that there's a lot of bright spots coming for the Hokies. So a home win at the Castle over Miami, they'll take it 86-85. Miami's nightmare season marches on, although without Jim Larrañaga, he pulled the ripcord on that. UVA gets smoked by Louisville. They were hanging until late. JMU wins over Arkansas State. So that was the college basketball scene. It's a football town. It's a good thing we got the Commanders in the playoffs. It's a good thing we got VCU, because I know the Spiders have put together a couple nice wins recently, but my optimism meter is quite low for Virginia Tech and for UVA this year. May not be a lot to write home about in the ACC. That's all right, though. It's NFL's Black Monday. Playoff matchups are set. We're getting you ready for all of it. It's the Monday edition of MP on the Mic. Snowy Richmond here. It's a treat. I like it. I like looking out at it. I'll hate it in a few days when it's brown and slushy, so let's all enjoy it today. You can enjoy more of this radio program. We march towards AWOD Radio at 12 o'clock. You're listening to 910 The Fan. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. Always worldwide on the free Odyssey app, wherever you get cell service these days. Hopefully everybody's staying safe, staying warm out there on a snowy Monday in Richmond. Excited to see a little snow on the ground. Hopefully we'll be able to get out of town in time later this week for an excellent sports weekend. College football playoffs coming at you Thursday and Friday, and then we've got playoff football headlined by the Washington Commanders and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know what this day has been for so long, has been clean out day, and has been what draft pick do we have day. Not our problem today. It is some other team's problems, though. Here's your draft order. Your draft order's set now. The Tennessee Titans end up with the number one pick. This is their first year post Vrabel. I'll get to him in a second when we get to New England. Cleveland, the number two draft pick. That's an interesting one, because you've got Deshaun Watson next year on the untradeable, uncuttable contract. But if you brought in a rookie quarterback, you could maybe shortcut that rebuilding a little bit. So that's an intriguing spot for Cleveland to be in. Tennessee is presumably going to need a quarterback as well. You know what I think? I took flack on this the other day. I don't think there's any winners. I don't think there's any sure thing winners. I like Cam Ward. I don't love Cam Ward. I like Shedeur Sanders. I don't love Shedeur Sanders. You go on, obviously, Ewers, Beck, you know, whatever the rest of that field looks like. It don't impress me much. This isn't last year for sure. So both those teams you grapple with. Do you take the quarterback? Do you swing for the fences? That's certainly what the analytics would tell you to do. Do you take a Travis Hunter? He could be a game changer. I do love me some Travis Hunter. I really do. Three spot is the New York Giants after their win a couple weeks ago. And then right behind them, the New England Patriots after their comical win yesterday. Gerard Mayo, coach of the Patriots, got fired after the game. That wasn't a huge surprise, obviously. It was a rough first season in New England. They beat the Bengals to open and then just stumbled the rest of the way. If the Bengals just win that game against the Patriots, they're in the playoffs, not Denver. The whole situation's different in both places, and the Patriots are picking number one overall in the NFL draft. It's a weird league sometimes. That was as misleading a result as you could possibly have in week one of the season. Jacksonville, of course, is going to be near the top, as they always are. And then at six, it's Las Vegas. They need a quarterback, Tom Brady's team there. Jets are at seven. Carolina, New Orleans, Chicago is your top 10 of the draft. Chicago finally broke the Hail Mary curse yesterday, beat the Packers, which was a great solid. Didn't need it. We got Terry McLaurin. Don't worry. Terry showed up in crunch time. Almost grateful for Chicago there, which pulled off a lovely last-second comeback up at Lambeau Field, against the Packers, which is going to send the Packers a little bit reeling into the playoffs next week as well. But New England, I wanted to talk about New England. There's somebody I blame here. If you have the number one pick and you're going into week 17, or week 18, you should always keep the number one overall pick. Always. There's never a reason to have the number one pick going into the last game of the year and not have the number one pick coming out of the last game of the year. And there is somebody I blame for this. And it's not Drake May, and it's not Gerard Mayo. It's Robert Kraft, the owner. Robert Kraft fired Gerard Mayo right after the game, which tells me that he released a big statement, put out a big long statement, because that was his guy. He went to the mat for him. He didn't even do interviews. Should have gone to Vrabel, should have changed plans when Vrabel come available. Turned out he had promised this to Mayo a long time ago. Shifted on his feet here, fired him with the long statement right after the game. That tells you before the game he knew he was going to fire him. It's on you as the owner to make sure the team is not equipped to win a game and cost you the number one draft pick. Because you can't tell them to tank, right? The Flores lawsuit, all that. And it's a bad look anyway. Nobody wants to work for a guy who does that. There are ways, though. He should have fired Gerard Mayo during the week, installed an interim operation, made it clear that Drake May was not to play. There are ways to put your thumb on that scale that you have to do as the owner that they didn't do in New England, and now they're picking number four instead of number one. Now, they picked high in the year that mattered. They got their guy, Drake May. That's the one that matters. But three spots is a big deal in the NFL where one player can make or break you coming into the season. Tennessee post Vrabel 3-14. It's for New England. I mean, Vrabel was always the obvious choice. The note from Kraft here sounds like he realizes he acted hastily in promising it to Gerard Mayo a few years ago. Definitely ran Bill Belichick out a little too late, which is fine. Belichick's a legend. You know, he deserved to go out the way he wanted to go out. But after this year, if you have the chance to go get Vrabel, I think you have to do it. And it made me wonder if Vrabel was sitting around for a year, waiting for this job to come open. Because I think he's a great fit culturally. I think he'll get a little more time, a little more patience from ownership, because they're going to need that there. But it is Black Monday around the NFL. And of course, we will keep you posted as we dive into hour number two here, live on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We'll take you up to 12 o'clock. AWOD Radio will take over. Always a day with a ton of news, a ton of notes from around the league. And of course, the playoffs are on their way. We've got the playoff roster. Chiefs laid down for the Broncos. Didn't matter how that Miami game ended, although the way that the Jets game ended with the Jets winning, since he would have made the playoffs if the Chiefs had shown any fight at all and had elected to do anything in that. Broadly speaking, we probably need to address the topic at some point, what we're going to do about Week 18. Adding more football was never a good idea because you add more bad football in addition to more good football. They're talking about adding an 18th game to the season. It just means 2 weeks of this stuff instead of one. Now, this year was unique in that we had more really bad teams than we've had in a long time. That's a new development this year, more so than previous years. But if you go from 17 to 18, you just create more of this, more preseason at the end of the season. I think that's something everybody needs to be aware of before we go down that road. We'll play you some more clips from the Commanders' win in Dallas. Doesn't matter. It was Marcus Mariota. Felt good to be the 6-seed. Great matchup. I love this matchup against Tampa. I'm fired up. You should be fired up. It's a victory Monday. It's a victory Monday for the Rams. Victory Mondays all around. Buy a round for your friends down at Capitol Ale House with AWOD Radio. Buy a round of mimosas, whatever you're doing at home this morning in the snow. Keep it locked right here to your home in Richmond for the Washington Commanders. Hour number two up next. You're listening to 910 The Fan.
Requested an interview with Steelers offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. A source confirms the former Falcons head coach improved Pittsburgh's offensive attack in year one. That makes him sound like an intriguing candidate rather than a guy who flamed out in Atlanta and had Russell Wilson against bad teams and now is stumbling to the finish line in Pittsburgh. Look out there. The Associated Press this morning, Aaron Rodgers showed in Week 18 he can still play at a high level. Let me add an addendum to my Jerry Jones request from the previous segment. Jerry, I know I said don't change anything. I know I said bring back Mike McCarthy, bring back everybody. I'm going to make an addendum. I think you need to bring in Aaron Rodgers. I think he's the missing piece of the Cowboys organization.
Well, then who runs anything? That's like there's too many people who need to run everything.
Yeah, you've got Jerry has to run everything. Yeah. Obviously, Rodgers has to run everything. You still have Dak and his five T's.
Yes, and I'd imagine the coach and GM would want some say.
Did you see Dak with the T's?
Yeah, I did. I saw he drank one. Did he get to the other four? They never showed it.
He drank two. The last time we saw him was right before halftime, and he had drank two, which put him on pace for a 14 day. But then the next time we saw him at the start of the third quarter, he had come down to the sideline. Was it sponsored, or does he actually love tea? That's what I want to know.
I don't love that brand. I'll say it right now. Pure Leaf, I think, is what it is.
I think it's the Pure Leaf, yeah.
Not my favorites.
Okay. The thing about a canned tea is, I don't want a canned tea.
Where's Dak from?
Here.
He
went to Mississippi State.
Okay.
So he's a Southern guy.
Okay.
He knows his sweet tea's better than to be drinking that, for sure. He's been enough time in the South by now, for sure. Even if he was born in Louisiana, this says. Went to high school in Louisiana, Mississippi. It's got to be a sponsorship. No way he's punching out five Pure Leaf teas.
But you don't know he's going to be up there.
Everybody knows.
Like the whole NFL isn't sponsored by Uncrustable.
They do love their Uncrustables.
Great free deal for Uncrustables, though.
Absolutely.
So, hey, I mean, I think I'm the only one who said Pure Leaf when talking about this, so I don't know how happy they are.
Well, Pure Leaf's going to win. I am firmly of the camp that all publicity is good publicity.
Of course.
Yeah, I think they'll win here. It's also like, I think he genuinely might be a T fan.
Yeah.
I think it might not. I think I'm leaning towards it's not a setup. It's not sponsored.
I agree. This is just because it wasn't like prevalent. You know, he's just in the press box.
Drinking his teas.
Yeah.
Also.
Lined perfectly.
In the Commander's press box. They've got a cooler of waters. You know, they got it's either Aquafina or Dasani, so it shows you how good the branding is on me. It's one of the two. They got a big cooler of waters for us to drink, and I usually grab four waters and put them at the desk in front of me before the game starts because I don't want to be getting up and down as the game's going on to go get waters. I want to be dialed in watching football. During the breaks, I want to watch how they interact with each other. I don't need to be going up to get waters. So if you were to show a view of me in the press box Sunday...
There would be a couple waters.
There would be four waters in front of me.
I got this pulled up again. He does have two waters in front of him.
They're also positioned so perfectly.
Well, it's the five T's.
Labels out.
At the end of the line is one water bottle.
Yeah.
But to the left, not touching anything else, there's a decent amount of distance. There's a second water bottle. And then behind him on a road case, there's two more.
Two more waters?
Yes.
So he may have punched out four waters like I do during a football game.
None of the waters have been opened.
Oh.
This is post T1.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Clearly somebody... there's no way somebody was coming up there and pouring out teas to create the illusion.
So for those curious, they're all the sweet tea version.
They're all the same...
The blue label means sweet tea.
Is it possible they just wanted to have Dak's favorite things up there, make him feel comfortable? Maybe it wasn't Dak at all. Maybe the team like, hey, you know what Dak likes? He likes those teas. And he likes water scattered around in an illogical fashion. Let's make sure he has both.
Here's
those
the theory:
things.
Is that I will always go for a fun drink if there's one in a room, and if I open the press box and there's only Pure Leaf sweet teas,
you're gonna have one.
I'm probably gonna have one, if not a couple.
Yeah,
because they're free.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know how much a free sweet tea swings Dak like it does to me, given like the pay difference, perhaps.
I can answer this question for you. They love free stuff.
They do? Okay.
The richest people I know are the most excited when the t-shirt cannon goes off. I've been in NFL locker rooms where they bring in like a promotional, like, hey, Wingstop dropped by with a bunch of wings. They crush those.
Okay.
They don't hesitate.
So I think that's what this is. I think that the only option for some reason in the Cowboys press box, maybe it's Jerry's favorite. Maybe Jerry says Pure Leaf sweet tea is the only drink allowed in any of the press booths.
I don't know if I'm breaking code here by saying this. I've certainly said a number of times, Jerry World is my favorite place to go in the NFL. They treat you right up there, which... it includes after the game. It is the only one of the 32 NFL teams after the game they wheel a keg in. into the press box.
Okay.
When we're done, they pour you a beer. It's a Miller Lite, the official beer of the Dallas Cowboys. It's all branded. Yeah, it's got the tap with with the. But if you want to, if you didn't drive yourself, if you took, you know, if you took an Uber or whatever, you can get yourself a drink on the way out. Whatever earthly pleasures of beverage you desire, as long as they're a Dallas Cowboys sponsor, you can have an infinite number inside that facility.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what if you don't ask? Is this the default?
The tea?
Yeah.
If you don't ask for a tea?
Yeah. Well, if you don't ask for anything. Then maybe Dak isn't used to being up there.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't know.
So he goes up there, and that's what's there.
They just prepared some teas for him. It was very, very kind of them. They got him ready with his tea. They went down to the sideline, said, all right, let's go get this game, boys. And then on the other sideline, Dan Quinn was like, I don't care if I win. I don't care if I lose. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait, there's 6 seconds left. We should win. Let's win this game. And that's about how it went. It was the biggest decision Dan Quinn made yesterday was pulling Jaden Daniels, for sure. And we'll evaluate that as the show goes on. That was the big moment of the game. That was Dan Quinn putting his stamp on that game and kind of making a statement about where everything stands with the offensive line, with the team. And that's the concern coming into this week as we get you ready. Playoff football on the Fan. I couldn't be more fired up. Playoff football in Tampa. I'll be there. That's the exciting part. Kickoff 8 o'clock p.m. I think it'll be nicer than here. Although, today's the day. If you're going to enjoy the snow, today's the day. When it snows, day one, it's pretty, it's fluffy, it's white. Everything's beautiful out there. You drove it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, it's the roads kind of look gross. That's
but
what
they're
happened.
Fine.
But I played
the roads
around.
Are fine.
I ran
morning.
Outside last night. I had fun.
It was beautiful. Perfect night. Great morning. Everything looks good. Roads are fine. Roads are fine. Tomorrow, they'll be less fine than today. And then Wednesday, everything's going to be brown, and it's going to be like, get this crap out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Today's the day. You got to enjoy the snow today while everything's beautiful.
Because starting tonight, it's below freezing for a while.
That's the concern. It's raining. You know, I haven't been outside in about an hour, but when I was outside last, it was raining. That rain doesn't just go away.
Yeah, the roads are fine, but they are certainly wet.
Wet is fine. We can drive in the rain. Ice is bad. You can't drive on ice. And I'm from the Midwest, and my thing is, like, don't be the tough guy. Like, because I understand my role. My role is supposed to be like, well, back in Kansas, we drive in this. We'd still have school. We'd still go to work. Like, it's different. People here aren't used to it.
We're not prepped for it.
We're not prepped for it. I had a car there that was prepped for it. I have a car here that's a Honda with tires that probably are past their expiration date, but it doesn't matter. Because I don't need them here. You know, I'm
until
not,
you do.
Today we don't, because it's raining. Tomorrow we do. Tomorrow be wild. We're monitoring everything going on here across the NFL. The Jets have put in a ton of requests. I mentioned Arthur Smith. Matt Nagy, he's the Chiefs offensive coordinator. They've requested to interview him. Patriots are requesting to interview Ben Johnson. You got two interesting names in this cycle. One, of course, is Vrabel, who's still hanging out, still waiting for a job. Not everything's a conspiracy, as we mentioned with Dak and the T, but it sure feels like the Patriots firing their coach right as we start to get all the Vrabel publicity. He wants a job. It just feels too obvious. I'd be stunned if Vrabel's not introduced as the Patriots coach within the next week.
The whole Mayo season feels like a psyop to me.
Well, I understand what happened here. Robert Kraft promised Mayo the job 3 years ago. I'm sure in the back of his mind, it never even crossed his mind Tennessee would fire Vrabel that same year. Last year, you had Belichick leaves. Vrabel gets fired. It's the most obvious hire in the history of football. But he can't make it because he's promised this other guy the job.
I just feel like if you're an NFL franchise runner, that a promise you made to a guy is not outweighed by the best interest of an entire team for a year.
And I think the fact that he got 1 year with a crappy roster tells you how he feels about that. So, and honestly, he may have done Vrabel a solid. Because if Vrabel's putzing through this 3-13 year, maybe, Vrabel, is he overrated? Maybe Tennessee got rid of You get all the benefit of coaching the Patriots with none of the hassle of having to follow Bill Belichick. He's not following Bill Belichick anymore. He's following Gerard Mayo.
So Mayo kind of just gets screwed by this.
Very much so. Very much so. It's a tough break for him. I think he's young enough. He'll get a coordinator job. He'll bounce back. He'll get in the system. Those guys get second chances. Raheem Morris, he's on his second chance in Atlanta. Guys get second chances generally. Bill Belichick, his second chance was New England after he flamed out in his first gig with the Cleveland Browns. So everybody needs that second chance in their life. Dan Quinn, lost in Atlanta after the Super Bowl. Things went off the rails. Now in Washington, now in the playoffs. The other one, of course, is Ben Johnson with the Lions. And Ben Johnson's going to be interesting to monitor because it sure sounds like this is the year he jumps. He's waiting and seeing what's out there. So if you're keeping score, the Giants' job is not open. The Giants put out a statement this morning. They're sticking with Brian Daboll. That's an interesting one right there. You'd heard Mara kind of communicate that all season long. Jaguars' job is available. They have fired Doug Peterson this morning, which I think everybody saw coming. Dolphins' job not available. They're going to keep Mike McDaniel. They're also going to keep their general manager, Chris Greer, who I don't think is all that good. The Colts keeping Shane Steichen. I don't think the Colts' job is good. I don't think you want to be Anthony Richardson.
I'm surprised. I feel like Shane Steichen was...
Especially after McAfee lit into him, It sure felt like that was a final straw kind of situation. Like, you don't... You never want to have to answer to the media, but you also don't want to be in the spot of, like... I think Pat McAfee might be the most influential person in the state of Indiana.
I would imagine.
Caitlin Clark, Pat McAfee. I think that's your 1-2. Because Peyton doesn't live there anymore. Peyton doesn't really weigh in. We haven't heard Peyton ever give a Colts opinion. Mm-hmm. Anytime he's on TV, it's always, I hope for the best for them. Good. Okay.
Okay.
But opinionated people, it's McAfee. He's loved. He has a national platform. He lit into the dude. And I don't think he was wrong either. And so that's the surprise there, that job's not open. I don't think you want that job, though. If you're Ben Johnson, you're waiting to see if Cincy comes open. We all agree that's the one spot of jobs if it does. You're waiting to see if the Dallas situation, how this works itself out. What was it Jerry Jones said? The hay is in the barn yesterday. That's not a yes or a no.
What is that?
The hay is in the barn in Dallas. Jerry Jones asked after the game, is Mike McCarthy going to be the coach next year? Said it didn't. Oh, and somebody asked, did today's game matter? He said, no, the hay's already in the barn. So the hay's in the barn in Dallas.
Hay's in the barn.
Those are the two jobs, Bengals, Cowboys. Those are the two you want. If Ben Johnson is intent on leaving, I think you're picking between Jacksonville and Chicago.
Jacksonville is my thought.
Chicago, we've gone over this. You get Caleb Williams. I think he's a good young quarterback. You inherit a bad organization. Jacksonville, is Trevor Lawrence salvageable? Are you moving on there? That's a tougher gig if you're moving on because you don't have a high draft pick. It's not a good quarterback year. You might be 2 years before you bring your guy in unless you think you're going to bring in a Kirk Cousins or a Darnold and save the day there. I continue to be convinced somebody's going to bring in Russell Wilson next year. I think the Steelers move on to Fields, let Wilson go. I think Russell be wanted somewhere, though. But Ben Johnson's the other name we're watching, obviously, as we wait to see what comes open and doesn't come open on clean-out day. Across the league, little news here, playoff news, Zay Flowers, day-to-day after being ruled out. The injury is not season-ending yesterday. That's great news there. Other injuries of note, obviously, Jalen Hurts will be monitoring him throughout the week in Philly, and Jordan Love with the Packers. So that's an intriguing game. That one will be on right before the main event, Sunday night, Commanders and Bucks. A little feedback here from our guy George. He says one of the biggest reasons VCU won yesterday, a little basketball talk, they were more selective from three, 24 three-pointers, 37 inside the paint. I also love that Jack Clark got into the paint. I think he was selective in that way as well. We'll dive into all that. Have you followed the hippo getting named over at the Richmond Zoo, the pygmy hippo?
I barely know of the story.
Yeah, we're going to get you caught up because they named the hippo this morning.
Thank goodness.
We'll tell you the name on the other side. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
Mm-hmm.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.